And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the very first episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, bringing together the most fabulous, dark, occulted, mystic, knowledge, wisdom, truth, etc. My very special guests joining me today to mark the kicking off of a new age, a new degree, maybe even the 34th one. Will be Santos Bonacci from Australia and the UniversalTruthSchool.com. Say hello, Santos.
Hello, Vinny. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
And in the blue corner, wearing the Masonic black and white shorts, we have Jordan Maxwell, who is still here. And
yeah, I'm still here, Vinny, and happy to be on the show.
Jordan Maxwell Show. .com is the blippity blue for that one there. And this topic for today is something that is very personal for both of my guests and very, shall we say, unknown to me. And I'd probably include with the royal me, including pretty much everybody who doesn't know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, inside and out. You know, these people that come to your door and the reason they get out of police speeding tickets and things like that, you know, cop pulls a Jehovah's Witness over. I've got a fine here for you. Well, have you got some time to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ? All right. I'll let you off with a warning. Now, I'd like to see if we can encapsulate this here. What, who, indeed define the parameters, is the Jehovah's Witness organization? Who would like to start?
Well, maybe I will, because there are a few things I think need to be said before we even enter into this subject. For one thing, I'm not in any way saying anything about Jehovah's Witnesses, the people, because I know them. I was one for a while, and my mother was one. So I know that there are a lot of very, very good, sweet, and very decent people who belong to Jehovah's Witnesses. So I'm in no way talking about them. But as a matter of fact, some of the people that I have met in Jehovah's Witnesses were some of the nicest and most decent people you'll ever want to meet. So we're not talking about the people, just as when I talk about the Vatican, I'm not talking about the Catholic people. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about organizations. So that's, I'd like to, you know, set the matter straight. We're not complaining or condemning Jehovah's Witnesses as a people, but no, we're talking
more,
about...
No more than you'd condemn the people who serve you the burger at McDonald's when you criticize the CEO putting ingredients that aren't fit for human consumption in the produce.
Right, but they're not responsible for that, and you're not responsible, you know, but you are responsible for eating it, so... I have a very warm place in my heart for Jehovah's Witnesses. I know so many of them, and they've been very good people. But I would say, and I think Santos would agree, that probably anywhere from 50 to 75% of the overseers, the elders and the men in the congregations around the world who are in charge of the different congregations, the ministers, so to speak, are themselves pompous, arrogant, self-centered, egotistical, because most have never had a position of responsibility in their life, and finally they get a place in the congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses where they are ministers and they're in charge, and for the first time they can be in charge of something and start lording it over everybody else because they're in charge. And so there are some very... there are some few elders and ministers and Jehovah's Witnesses who are very decent, very fine people. But by and large, I think that the overwhelming majority are very self-centered, egotistical, and self-serving because they're climbing the power, they're climbing the ladder to power within the organization. But that happens in all organizations, unfortunately. But... So what I'm saying is that Jehovah's Witnesses are no different than anybody else on the earth. There's always good, there's bad, There's brilliant intelligence, there's stupidity. Anytime you get people into an organization, we're not condemning the people. We're talking about the facts of the corporation, the company, and the concepts and the ideas. So I just wanted to make sure people understand that. I have nothing against Jehovah's Witnesses as a people.
Because he used to be one, his mum was one. And you get the idea, ladies and gentlemen. I presume similar sentiments from you, Santos.
Yeah, that was well said. I agree that that is simply a...
Oh, we're getting some really bad talk chatter on your line there, Santos.
Can't oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait. Let's try that again.
Is that better?
I think a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll just try and change the position of the mic. It might be a bit faulty. Yeah, I agree with that wonderful prefacing of this... this topic. It's simply because organizations which have people in them will always have a mixed, eclectic group to contend with, and so that's already going to be, you know, something to have to manage.
Yeah.
But certainly it's the organization here that we are going to reveal certain facts about the organization. Because what's really going on here is there are two churches really going on. There's the Church of the Living and the Church of the Dead. Now, the Church of the Dead is the what they call the organization. You know, it's corporatized, hence the title Watchtower and Tract Society Incorporated. I've brought this out to many Jehovah's Witnesses because I did do about probably 35 years of my life with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I can go into a little, just a brief history too, so that people know that I know who I'm talking about here. I 35 years, I was a ministerial servant. I served in a Portuguese-speaking congregation in Melbourne for 4 years, Italian-speaking congregation for 4 years in the northeast of Victoria, Wangaratta, Myrtleford. I served in some Spanish, just giving talks, etc., etc. And all the English-speaking people know me too, especially in Victoria. You know, I was quite well known. Yeah. So, the corporation is, corpse means dead, and it's all corporations are under the Vatican. That's what I'll say. I'm not going to elaborate about that because I've done that. And so was Jordan in many, many of our works. And so that's all taken care of. All corporations come under the mother, the whore of Babylon, the umbrella of all umbrellas. And it probably goes back to Constantine and the donation of Constantine. Or you could go back probably to the Flavian dynasty or the Julian dynasty that set this up. Pope Boniface, of course, in 1300 did some damage with his papal bull. So anyway, that's more than I wanted to say, and I'll probably hand it over to Jordan.
Now, Santos, also, your microphone may be a little bit close to a computer or something. We hear this kind of low hum over the time. But anyway, Jordan, would you like to pick up where he left off?
Well, yeah, I would even say that, or explain a little more, that corporations, as Santos said, are actually dead because they are, you know, you can't take a corporation, you can't take the Watchtower Bible Tract Society as a company, as a corporation. You can't take the Watchtower Society out for dinner. It's just a name. It's just a name of a company. So it has no life. It's just the name of a corporation. And so there is the church, as Santos said, the Church of the Living and the Church of the Dead. Well, the Church of the Dead is a corporation, a company. But the Church of the Living are the actual living people in it. Now, that's different. Now we're talking about the people. So tonight, we're not talking about the people, the Church of the Living. We're talking about the Church of the Dead, meaning the corporations, which actually have no real life at all. They're just a corporate name.
Are they registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission? Because we've looked up that New Zealand itself is a corporation under the Queen and Right of New Zealand registered at the SEC. Is it the same for the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Church of the Dead?
I would suspect so, because I also know that the Mormon Church is a corporation. And we found out, and I was shocked to find out, that Islam, the very religion of Islam, is a corporation sole on the British, in Britain. It's considered a corporation, a company, and it's called a corporation sole in England. And I would send some of that information and documents to you. That's interesting that even Islam is a company.
Well, so could Islam then be defined as sole traders?
Probably, yeah. That's the kind of thing that Santos is so good at, breaking down how these corporations are intermingling cosmic ideas about living people and how they own your body and your soul, etc. So, yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of information that needs to be brought out about Islam, Judaism, and Christianity as corporations, as companies, because that's what they are. They're on the stock market. I mean, it's an incredible story of how this stuff really works. And, of course, Jehovah's Witnesses are right in the middle. You've got to figure they're right in the middle of all of this. If they're in New York City and Brooklyn, now, my God, anybody who lives in America knows what Brooklyn is all about. Brooklyn is the center and has been for a long time, for many, many years. Brooklyn, New York has been the center for mafia, for Jewish Zionism, for all the corruption, all the underworld stuff that's been going on in America. It's a very serious area of corruption and occult power in Brooklyn, New York. Well, that was the home. That's the home of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Corporations get involved in things for the money, generally. So the question is, where does the money come from to feed this corporation, and where does the money go once it's been sucked in?
Very good. Yeah, very good question. I can answer that. Many years ago, back in 1980s, early 80s, I went to an international convention here in Los Angeles of Jehovah's Witnesses. And at that international convention, there were three of the members of the governing body. There's a handful of men, I think there's 12 of them in New York, headquarters for Jehovah's Witnesses, that actually run the organization. There are 12 men, just like the Mormon Church has 12 prophets who run the Mormon Church. Well, Jehovah's Witnesses have 12 men also who run their church, and there's a reason why it's always 12 at the top. But anyway, I was at an international convention here in Los Angeles back in the early 80s, and I knew two of the members of the governing body personally, Dan Selick and can't remember the other guy's name now. It was an old Greek guy. And so after the convention was over, the governing body members, there were three of them, and all of the people around them, their entourage, were all going out to dinner. And I was invited to go. And at dinner, there was a young man there, young Greek guy there, who was the accountant for the Watchtower Bible Tract Society, Jehovah's Witnesses headquarters in New York, and he was the chief accountant. And so we're talking about the organization, etc., and I'm just listening to these big shots talking about the company and about the corporation, etc. And then I asked this young man, I said, in the yearbook, you know, in the books which are printed by the Jehovah's Witnesses, this was in early 80s, I said, in the most recent book on your company, it says that you have spent like $65 million just on salaries alone. $65 million on salaries alone for this year. And so I ask him, and that does not include all of the construction, all of the buildings and property which is being bought all over the world by Jehovah's Witnesses. So my question is, where are you getting the money? Because I live here in Los Angeles, and the congregations here are just scraping and getting by from month to month on contributions, and yet the New York headquarters is spending $65 million just in salaries alone around the world. And so there's an enormous amount of money that's being spent each year by the organization, the world headquarters. So I asked him, where are you getting the money? And he said to me, he said, the corporation called you, the Watchtower and Bible Tract Society Company, has what is called an open-end account with two of the major banks in America. One is this is back in the 80s. He said one of the banks is the Chase Manhattan Bank, and the other is the Morgan Guaranty Bank in Philadelphia. Morgan Guaranty and Chase Manhattan, we have a open-end corporate accounts with them. And the governing body are sitting there listening to me talking to their chief accountant. And it became very quiet because now you're talking about the money. Now you're talking about where where the real power is. And so they were listening to see what was going to be said. And so he told me, he said, we have open-end accounts with both of those banks. And I said, what do you mean by an open-end account? And he says, basically, both banks give us a checkbook once a year. And whatever checks we write are covered, period. No matter what it is, it's an open-end account. We write the checks, and they're good. And whatever, and so there's no limit on it. Well, that told me something right then, because Jehovah's Witnesses are famous for talking about the evil, corrupt politicians and bankers, et cetera, et cetera. Well, at the time, Chase Manhattan and Morgan Guaranty Trust was affiliated with the Rothschild banks out of England. And everybody knows about the Rockefeller banks in New York, Chase Manhattan. And here this accountant is telling me, no, the Chase Manhattan and Morgan Guaranty Trust are financing us with an open-end account. Whatever we need, we write the check, it's good. So I don't know what that tells you. Go back and think about it.
When it comes to money, if somebody gives you money, they want something back for it, an exchange. What's the exchange? What are the Jehovah's Witnesses doing for the bankers?
Well, I think that's very obvious. What they're doing is that Jehovah's Witnesses are a Jewish Zionist operation. I've known that for many, many years. They are being financed by secret funds that end up in Chase Manhattan and Morgan Guaranty Trust to finance propaganda machines for what we refer to as Zionist propaganda for New World Order. And so Jehovah's Witnesses are famous for talking about Jehovah's New World. It's not Jesus' New World. It's Jehovah's New World. Jehovah is one of the names of the Hebrew God that we use today. So the original Watchtower magazine, originally back in 1870s, 1869, 1870, when Charles Taze Russell began to publish the Watchtower Society, published the Watchtower magazine, it was not called Christian's Watchtower or Jesus Watchtower. It was called Zion's Watchtower, Z-I-O-N-S, Zion's Watchtower. And there were pictures in the old original Zion's Watchtowers, of which I have the complete set from the 1870s, but pictures in those Zion's Watchtowers of Charles Taze Russell, the founder, on board ship with Baron de Filippi de Rothschild, Baron von Hirsch, Chaim Weizmann, the founders of the Zionist movement. It was very well known that the international Bible students, that's what they were called. They weren't called Jehovah's Witnesses back then. That didn't come until 1939. Originally, Jehovah's Witnesses were referred to as the IBSA, International Bible Students Association. And the public, and as I said, the Watchtower had pictures of Charles Tess Russell on board large ships going back to England. And it shows him with all of these big shots, and it says in the article, he was there with the Zionist leaders going back to England to meet with Lord Rothschild and the Prime Minister of England, etc., etc. Well, that just tells me that he is well connected to the secret order of the movements of the world that have brought about what we call the New World Order, because that's what he was talking about, the New World Order. And so even today, the Watchtower talks about the coming New World, where Jehovah will be the absolute monarch of this New World Order. And so Jehovah has nothing to do with Christianity as it was originally understood in the first century. This is Zionism. This is actually a Jewish Zionist front group that's being financed by the Rockefeller Banks in Chase Manhattan and Morgan Guaranty Trust out of England. That's just the beginning.
Was it founded to fulfill that purpose, or did it actually have a very genuine beginning and then get co-opted?
Hard to say. I think probably that's really hard to say, because it is a good question. I'm not really sure at this point. All I know is that, let me go back and say this. In 1940, I think it was 1940 or 39, the ambassador to the United States from Italy, the Italian ambassador to the U.S. back in 1940, his wife wrote a chart. She wrote up a chart, and it was published in certain magazines about the occult connections with all the secret societies. And she was obviously very, very knowledgeable. And it became a very widespread article. and I have found a copy of it a long time ago. There's a company I know that I gave it to that are publishing it today. And I could send you a copy of it if you'd like to get it. And it shows the connections going all the way back to the mid-1800s, the secret societies operating behind the communist movement, behind the Nazi movements, the secret fraternal orders that were financing and promoting Nazism, communism, fascism. And this lady was very interesting, because she names all the names and their connections and all the interlocking corporations, who's financing who. And on that, and in that chart, she has Jehovah's Witnesses as being originally founded by the Rothschilds and the Rockefeller Banks to be a front group to prepare people for the idea, the very concept of an earthly kingdom, a new world order, earthly kingdom by God. And of course, nobody would want to argue with that if it's by God. And so it was being financed out of Europe. And of course, the Watchtower Society was very, very big in the 1870s in England and in the and on the continent also. So I think probably, I mean, I'm giving Charles Tess Russell the benefit of the doubt. Maybe at the very, very beginning, he was truly interested in Christianity, but from the very start of his very beginning of his watchtowers, it was called Zion's Watchtower. And we're told that he was being financed. I mean, that's a whole another story about where he got his money from to start the International Bible Students Association, which became later on Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a lot of history to the Watchtower Society that's never been exposed to the public. And I've known about this for many, many years.
How have they managed to keep all of this financing and everything from their flocks? I mean, I gather they don't talk accountancy during sermons.
No, not at all. Not at all. That kind of thing is on a need-to-know basis.
Well,
you don't need to know.
My next question is, what happens to the people in the congregation that start asking too many questions?
Well, that's what happened to me, because for some reason I started... Once I became an elder, I was very connected, as Santos was, but I began seeing things and hearing things that didn't add up, and I was very sincere and wanting to do something for God. But the more I began looking at it, the words and the terms that I was seeing that was being used by Jehovah's Witnesses, I knew to be communist terms. I knew them to be occult Masonic terms. I had already been studying for many years occultism, and I was very familiar with the secret societies, their fraternal symbols, emblems of power, and the words and terms that they use. And when I began seeing it, because that's what I've always been able to do, is pattern recognition. And I began seeing a pattern, the symbols in the Watchtower, the words and the terms, and in the big conventions that they had, the words and the terms that the speakers would use, I remember distinctly thinking, those are communist terms. Those are terms which are used by the secret societies in Germany and in Italy. Those are these symbols and words and pictures that are being shown to the Jehovah's Witnesses, these are well-known symbols and words of the secret societies, out of which has come Zionism, Illuminati, occult Freemasonry of Europe. So it became very obvious to me, something is going on here. Nothing is what it should be. And then I began seeing the corruption in the congregations, then in the circuits, and then later on in the districts, and the higher you go, the more the corruption. And then I had some real eye openings later on as I began to investigate. I really started to see things that were actually happening. We could talk about that later. But it all became overwhelmingly obvious to me that we were sucked into some kind of a secret society operation that's being financed out of London and New York, and it's based in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn, everybody knows, is the home of mafia, La Cosa Nostra, secret societies, Jewish Zionism, all kinds of evil corruption. Anybody could go on the web and look at the history of Brooklyn. It is nothing but criminal. And there is the Watchtower Bible Tract Society right in the middle of Brooklyn, buying up docks, buying up properties, doing anything they want to do. Even the mafia couldn't buy the docks of Brooklyn, as well established in Brooklyn as they were. Even the mafia could not buy the docks of Brooklyn. Nobody could do that. Jehovah's Witnesses did. They went in and bought up whole sections of the docks of New York. That takes clout. You got to know somebody to pull that one off. So it's a big story.
A blank checkbook,
more to talk about.
A blank checkbook might help with that kind of negotiation. I was thinking about how there's many different roads to the same truth. And what you've been explaining to me about the apparatus, the financing, the generalized sort of scope of the organization, which is basically just a subtle way of ushering people towards acceptance of a new form of global governance.
Yes,
and
yes.
This mirrors the founding of many political organizations that I've been looking into, many other religious organizations, and so on and so forth. So what it says to me is that this secret society network has actually managed to, shall we say, set up so many different well-financed movements that it doesn't matter where you're born or what part of the world or something, their influence will probably be there, ushering you into the mindset to accept a new world order by hook or by crook, by politics, by religion, by food or by water.
You can bet on it. No doubts about it.
How do you exactly think about what role the Jehovah's Witnesses organization themselves plays in this? I heard tell of a story where they would buy sections of the neighborhood and not let anybody live in the homes and like let them go out or something, or even sometimes commercial buildings. And as a result of having this deteriorating, rotting building in the middle of that street, the value of the subsequent properties around it would start to go down, and they would come in and buy those too. And it's the exact same thing that the Russian mob was doing in the Netherlands, actually, about 10, 15 years ago. So, yeah. Have you noticed that the exact same pattern of behavior exists throughout all these organizations? That's how you know they're connected?
That's exactly right. That's what I said. You should see this chart. It's a large, large chart with hundreds of entries, and it shows the financing, the political connections behind the scenes with the secret societies, the different names and the different organizations and how they are interchangeable on different boards of directorship for corporations. You know, the same people that are on the board of directors for, say, Ford Motor Company are also on the board of directors for some companies in Europe, which are also on the board of directors of something in Russia and China. So it's an interlocking worldwide operation that people have no idea in the world how big this stuff really is. But Jehovah's Witnesses are heavily, heavily involved as a corporation, not the people. But as a corporation, they are actually the one of the many, I guess you would call, propaganda machines to prepare the world to start thinking in terms of a kingdom to come, God's kingdom to be, to come on the earth. And it will be, of course, a Jewish kingdom, because Jehovah is the God of the Jews. So it's Jehovah's kingdom, not Jesus' kingdom, not God's kingdom. It's Jehovah's kingdom. And they talk about the coming day when the new world order will be here, and that all of the great saints of Jehovah, all the great followers of Jehovah, will finally be in power. They will be in positions of power to govern over the earth. 144,000 will be in heaven, and all the others will be here on the earth to govern the whole human race. So, you know, I don't know how much you have to hear of this to finally get the idea that this whole operation of Jehovah's Witnesses and other cults like them that are financed out of New York and London and are definitely and can be proven to be connected to the Rothschild banking fraternities, to the United Nations behind the scenes, all of this portends to tell you that something very big is going on the world scene, and good people all over the world are being sucked into it, because most good people are not into studying the dark side of the occult, which I have been doing for some 50 years now, looking at the dark side. I want to hear the rest of the story, and believe me, there's a hell of a story here that's never been told about not just Jehovah's Witnesses. We're talking about them tonight, but same thing goes for the Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Christadelphians, Worldwide Church of God. There's a whole network of secret societies going around the world that are financing these so-called York Rite religious orders. So many of these religions are being financed for political purposes.
So the financiers figured out that not everybody's going to just swallow one religion pill, so they brought out the exact same poison pill with a whole bunch of different range of flavors, and everywhere.
That's it.
You know, they've got your Coke, you've got your Fanta, you've got your Pepsi, you've got your Sprite, you've got everything that you've got except real choice.
That's it. You got it. That's exactly what I think is happening. And I've only been looking at this for 54 years, and that's exactly what I would say.
Yeah. Well, it sounds about right, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I don't buy into fear porn anymore, you know, or getting afraid of things. I just assume that the worst possible option is probably the correct one, the most cynical option, the most jaded option, you know, something that a really, really cynical journalist would say. That's probably more likely the truth than the other thing, because it's not satisfying. And that's why lies sound so sweet.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I take the same view of the life I live and the world I live in. I have discovered over the years, been doing this for many, many years, that the world, and I'm famous for saying this, that the world is not what you think it is. Nothing operates the way you think it does. Nothing. It's corrupt all the way through, all the way, like the... There was a scripture in the Bible even says that from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, there's not a well spot in you. There's nothing in this world of any intrinsic real value in the world that we live in. Politics, religion, government, banking, law, go down the line. All the human institutions that were created by humans are created by fallible people. And it's in the nature of man to want to control and buy out and be in control. And unfortunately, we're reaching now a point on the earth where that is now, that cancer of control and buying and corruption has finally sucked in the whole world, so that all over the earth there is not a one thing that isn't the dirty, controlled, some kind of secret stuff that's going on that we're not being told, and the normal everyday people of the world have no idea in the world how bad off we really are.
Because people tend to panic and change for the better when they're faced with a crisis, don't they? You can't really allow people to react like that on their own fashion, on their own steam. Could you imagine it? I mean, just right after 9/11, people weren't saying, oh, it was the terrorists, let's go over and bomb a whole bunch of people that had nothing to do with it and occupy their countries for a couple of decades. People would have gone, oh, yeah, all right, just like they did anyway.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. There's so much more I could tell you, and I don't want to block out Santos because he knows what I'm talking about. But there's so much more we could talk about.
Speaking of which, it's time for the return of the ghost of Santos Banerjee. Welcome back, bro. Oh, no. It's not working very well.
Santos. Yeah, thanks. No, I was enjoying that because I can... What's that, the mic?
It seems to be like close to something. There's a little bit of a hum or a blur or something, and you seem to have like a massive delay, like about a maybe I'd say a 10 second delay. So as soon as I finish speaking, you're gonna like talk back up.
Well, look, I'll just keep going for a little bit, wind up for about 5 minutes, but I want to touch on a few of the good things that Jordan mentioned. For the listeners, just Google Lord Edmund Baron Rothschild and Charles Taze Russell and punch in the word letters and correspondence, and you'll see how the Russell family, who are just branches of the Rothschild and the Rockefeller family, these are all ancient bloodlines, very powerful. They are bloodline families. You might want to look at the research of guys like Springmeier and there's tens of others who have researched these so-called royal bloodlines, right? The Russell family, who emanate from back to Germany, Russell. They were, and then migrated to Scotland and England, then went over to the United States. These Russells, they tie in with the Russell Trust, which is Skull and Bones, a la George Bush, and that killing machine there. Now, in 1835, there was a magazine, a register called Niles Weekly Register. I'm going to read this out to show what kind of force is behind these church corporations, monotheistic, patriarchal, autocratic, pedophile, I mean, these corporate Christian churches are the last haven for pedophiles on the planet. If you want to be a good little pedophile and you want to be protected, join one of these churches. It'll be good. You'll be right. Because that's all they do, including the Jehovah's Witnesses. Go to silentlambs.org and see the photographs and list of elders and ministerial servants and all types of deviants from the Jehovah's Witnesses, proven, went to court, and are still serving in the church. And this is a list of thousands upon thousands. It's riddled with pedophilia. All of these organizations are. They're big boys' clubs. So pedophilia is exactly what their interest is. But going back to the Niles Weekly Register, 1835, this was written about the Rothschild family. Now, remember, it was only 8 years prior to this that Charles Rothschild, down in Naples, went up to Rome and kissed, this is famous, this picture. You'll see a picture of Carlo Rothschild bending down in bended knee and kissing the Pope of the time. I forget which one it was, but it was since 1826, I think it is, the Rothschilds and the Vatican have joined forces. The richest family on the planet, who branch out to the Russell family, the Rockefellers, and all these other families, as Rothschild interbred family. The Windsors are in with them too. They're a killing machine. They're a war family. In fact, the Baroness Rothschild,
Santos,
the original founding dynasty, mother, wife, actually.
We've been having a little bit of a problem here hearing you. Do you have a phone number or something you can pop into the chat and we could possibly reconnect you on that, on a mobile or a landline or something?
I'll call back in. No, I haven't got any other means. I'll just call back in.
No problem. Just quickly reconnect on in. That'll be fine. Sorry about the technical difficulties, folks. It's one of those things with live radio, isn't it? I would also like to have a look here and think about these royal family connections to these organizations as well, because Santos, you were just saying there about the Windsors being connected to the setup of this.
Oh yes, of course. Diana, Prince William is a half Rothschild. The Spencers, they were Goldsbergs, who are a branch of the Rothschilds. So this family does this. It branches out with different names, and they're all interrelated. Especially the Russells. That's easy to research on the net. But the Niles Weekly Register said this: the Rothschilds are the wonders of modern banking. We see the descendants of Judah, after a persecution of 2,000 years, peering above the kings, rising higher than emperors, and holding a hole in the hollow of their hands. The Rothschilds govern a Christian world. Now, I'll read that again because this is the point, this is what I wanted to read, but I'm going to continue with the full reading here, but I want to stop and just repeat that. The Rothschilds govern a Christian world. Not a cabinet moves without their advice. They stretch their hand with equal ease from Petersburg to Vienna, from Vienna to Paris, from Paris to London, from London to Washington. Baron Rothschild, the head of the house, is the true king of Judah, the prince of captivity. Please take note, the prince of captivity. The captivity is through the Vatican. And I'll explain how that is through the birth certificate and the legal name. This is what they're all doing. All the churches are involved in slavery. The Messiah so long looked by this extraordinary people. He holds the keys of peace or war, blessing or curse. They are the brokers and counselors of the kings of Europe and the Republican chiefs of America. What more can they desire? Now remember, this is just perhaps 50 years after the Rothschilds took over all banking in Europe and all the finances of Europe everywhere. And Baroness Rothschild said, if my sons did not want wars, there would be no wars. Now, this is what the churches are here for, Vinny. The churches, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all of them, they're all corporations and they're all owners of corporations that make military hardware. The Jehovah's Witnesses own a corporation called Rand Cam Corporations, which manufactures motors for the military-industrial complex. And it's a Judeo-Christian, you could call it, monotheistic, really it's just a corporation, okay? So the reason the Rothschilds joined with the Vatican was so that they could join forces and manufacture the greatest slave industry machine ever in the history of the universe. And it runs via the birth certificate legal name. This is what the Jehovah's Witnesses are harvesting, and all the other churches, they are harvesting the energy that is accessed through the birth certificate legal name. The birth certificate is nothing other than a baptism into the Catholic Church. It is a benefice. It is a benefice which is given in gift to a parson, P-A-R-S-O-N, which becomes a person, a mask, a legal mask. Now, how many Jehovah's Witnesses do you think would go to their kingdom hall, kingdom phallus, and hear the elders saying, please, people, brothers and sisters, please understand that your legal name is owned by the Catholic Church and you are truly 100% owned, mind, body and soul, by the Catholic Church. I wonder how many Watchtower articles, did I say Watchtower? I should have said Watch Out articles have been written to warn them about this. I wonder how many articles in the Awake, I mean Asleep magazine, that they have warned their little baptized peeps that the Vatican owns their birth certificate.
Santos, you're going to have to reconnect quickly again. Sorry about that. It kind of it seems to go good for a couple of minutes and then sort of drop out, so time to reconnect. And we should be able to sort that out. Now, what this strikes me as, interestingly enough, is basically like ancient Aztec culture was about grabbing people, enslaving them, and then sacrificing them, right, and manipulating them. This is the ancient Aztec way. And I think over time they've figured out, hey, you know what? Human sacrifice needs to be a lot more elaborate and convoluted so that people don't know that we're stealing their soul. Is that about right, Santos?
Yeah, it is, Vinny. It is absolutely 100% correct. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses are guilty of. The other thing they are guilty of, not only is people trafficking and harvesting energy and dumbing down the people so that they will wait for Jehovah to come and fix up the problems. In the meantime, bend over, pay your taxes, pay your rates to the military-industrial complex, because they will come sodomizing you, and we will encourage you to look the other way and not say anything. What's going on is these churches are funded by the Rothschilds, by the Rockefellers, the Petro, the people who are dumping byproducts of the oil industry in our water, air, foods, and it's just a big oil dump. It's the Rockefellers, and they own the Jehovah's Witnesses. And the way you know that the Jehovah's Witnesses are guilty, they're guilty of two of the biggest people trafficking crimes that you could possibly ever commit. First of all, slavery, because they have not told their idiot dupes that they are owned through the legal name and the baptism, the birth certificate. It's not a government document. The live-born record is, the birth certificate is Vatican, Holy See, Roman Curia owned, and their souls are owned. And do they tell their dupes as well that the currency that they're collecting in their contribution boxes and their donation boxes, which are everywhere, is owned by the Federal Reserve, a private banking cartel which is run by the Rothschilds and the Vatican, and they are collecting this blood money. They're not collecting treasury notes. Does the governing body of the Jehovah's Witnesses ask their sheeple to make sure that they only collect treasury notes, because treasury notes, US treasury notes, do not subscribe and use usury? Isn't it interesting that the very people who, you know, preach the Bible and go killing you for it because you don't understand their version of their Jesus, are telling people to put usury, blood money, military, industrial, Rothschild, Vatican-owned currency in their contribution boxes? I wonder what they're doing with that petrodollar money, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jordan just mentioned that, didn't he? Buying up docks and land and hotels in the Brooklyn. 20 years ago when I started researching this, I discovered that there's an organization there, a government organization, which tells you the richest corporations in the boroughs of New York. And Jehovah's Witnesses are number 20 in the Brooklyn borough, 20th richest business in the borough. And perhaps, Jordan, you'd like to tell people about Mr. Solly, the Jewish cigar-smoking gentleman who hides behind the curtains of the governing body to direct to them what they shall brainwash with?
That's something I was going to bring up, yes. And I was at a convention, a big international convention here in Los Angeles. They hold a lot of them here. And this was at the Dodger Stadium. And I was in charge of platform security, or I was working with the group for platform security. So I had access to the big shots up at the top of the stadium, overlooking the whole convention. And I went in one day to talk to Fred Franz, the president of the Watchtower Bible Tract Society, and I was supposed to be guarding him. I was on the platform security. So I walked in to the box at the stadium, where it's very off limits for everybody. Just the big shots from New York had this private box, air conditioning and catered food and everything in the box. And so I went in and I started to go into Fred Franz, as I said, the president of the Watchtower Society. He knew me and I knew him well, and I was on his, I was on platform security. So I started to walk in, and there's a big, heavyset Jewish guy there with sideburns smoking a cigar, which, as far as I was concerned, that the moment I saw him, he's sitting there smoking a cigar, reading something, and it struck me, who is this guy smoking a cigar when it's not supposedly something that Jehovah's Witnesses have nothing to do with, is smoking, and yet this guy's sitting here in front of the president of the Watchtower Society's office, sitting here smoking a cigar.
Well, let's get into that after the break, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to leave you on the cliffhanger of the cigar-smoking guy with sideburns. This is going to be really awesome. I can just tell already. We'll be right back. And welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I don't know what it is about being from New Zealand and broadcasting in America that just happens to be really awesome, because I can criticize everything that's going on over there and not actually have to deal with it personally. I haven't had my blood pulled at a checkpoint on the side of the road. I haven't had a corrupt New York cop beat me over the head for absolutely no reason and then go in afterwards to complain and then get arrested for complaining by a corrupt cop protecting the other one. You know, it's kind of like it's a really, really messed up merry-go-round of power and hierarchical brainwashing scumbaggery out there, isn't it? Isn't it? And it's all you can do to try and just have a few laughs. You know, just squeeze. You know, when you're down to the last of your tube of toothpaste, and you're like, bro, there's got to be just enough to brush my teeth just this once. That's what it's like, trying to squeeze humor out of reality these days. Things are so bad that you have to do it as a survival mechanism. The same reason why people lie to themselves instead of admitting that they've been living a lie and continue to attack people who challenge that lie that they've been living. The truth is a bitter pill, but lies will always retain their sweet, juicy flavor, even though it's completely artificially made. There's nothing natural about it. My very special guests are Santos Bonacci from UniversalTruthSchool.com and Jordan Maxwell from JordanMaxwellShow.com. It's good to hear you back on the air as well, Jordan. There's been a, ever since that fire that took out all of your possessions and everything back in the day, it's been tough, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had a fire in which what little bit of possessions I was able to hold on to. I've been robbed more than one time, and so the few things I had left, to I put them in into a storage. And when it was supposed to be delivered to me, they called me the morning and said, "Well, the storage area that your stuff was in burned to the ground, so your stuff was completely lost." And so I know that that was not by chance. Never been a fire there before. It wasn't in the whole place was caught fire. No, just that little area where my stuff was, caught fire, and so I lost everything. Well, I know that it was purposely done, and I'm pretty sure I know who did it. But but that and $2 will get you a cup of coffee. I can't prove it, and besides the powers that be, it doesn't matter. At least I still have my life. They'd like to get rid of me, not just my stuff, but to get rid of me. And so, it's been very difficult. But it was even difficult before losing everything, because I've been robbed by people continually. My website was robbed from me, taken from me. All my products were stolen from me, my money, my bank account. It's all been stolen from me, and I've been left with nothing for many years. So,
hate to correct you, Jordan, but I just got contacted by Max Egan in Australia, and one of his listeners has actually managed to recover a portion of your website, and they want to return it to you.
Well, I thank you. That's wonderful, because ultimately, I would like to get my website back that was stolen from me, and get it all back online again. And so, ultimately, that's what's going to have to happen. I've got to get it all back again. Right now, I do have a website. It's called Jordan Maxwell Show, SHOW, JordanMaxwellShow.com, and it's just a podcast. But I'm going to be doing a lot more with that website soon. But I'm in court right now. I'm in court with a state case, and we got a federal case going against the people who have stolen my website, my money, and everything I ever worked for. It's all been stolen by these people, and they're making nothing but money off of me. And for 4 years, I've gotten nothing. And so, their time in the barrel is coming very soon. We got a federal case now looking at them, and a state case looking at them. So I'm sure that somewhere along the line, there's going to be some justice done finally for me after all these years of people robbing me. But yeah, like you said, it caught fire, and I lost everything. So at this point, I just throw my hands up and say, well, I just do the best I can with what I have to work with.
Well, at the very least, all of this stuff is still out there. Is your original stolen website still up, at least, so people can go and access the knowledge that has been put into it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would prefer you go to my website, because if people go to the website, the original website, which was stolen from me, they have really destroyed that website. The people who stole it from me have really destroyed it. They have gone in, changed everything, mocked me and called me names on my own website, mocked me and mocked my name, and libeled my name. And at the same time, they are libeling my name and calling me everything they can imagine. At the same time, they're trying to sell all my products, which is on the surface is crazy, because they're calling me names on one hand, and on the other hand, destroying my name and my reputation. At the same time, promoting all of my videos to make money. These people are criminals. They're mentally disordered. And eventually, I'm going to see them in federal court. They've got some serious court days coming up. Somebody is going to have to pay for what they've done to me for the past 4.5 years. So I would stay away from my original website, which is jordanmaxwell.com. I don't own that anymore. They stole it from me. And so Jordan, if you want to, go to my website, which is jordanmaxwellshow.com.
Yeah, and for the listeners, please, I know exactly who it is that's stolen Jordan's property, and I know it's a family of three criminals, and please write to me, get in touch with me, and I will post on Facebook and my Face Uni website how to deal with this particular family of criminals and how we can stop them in their tracks. So write to me and I'll share that with you. So we'll deal with the corruption as we come to it.
It'd be great if there was also a questionnaire or a flowchart like that and how to deal with the Bush crime family as well. But unfortunately, they're holding the bag with all the good heroin in it. So they've got enough money for any amount of black ops they need.
Let me add this, is that if you go on my website to jordanmaxwellshow.com, you will see a red box on the right-hand side. Click on that red box, and it will take you to a page where all of the legal and lawful stuff going on with me, all the court, what the courts have said, what the judges have said, what the attorneys have said, what's been happening to me for over 4.5 years, it's all there with the links going to the court records, to the attorneys' offices. It's all there. We finally got it all out so that the public can see what these people have done to me. 4.5 years, criminals, felonies. Mm. These people are criminals with felony convictions already, and they're getting ready to have a few more felony convictions sent to them real soon. So go on my website and click on that red box, and it will take you to a page that you can read all about these criminals. I got their pictures there and what they've done, what the courts have said, as I said, and what the attorneys are saying in the lawsuit. It's all right there if you care to look to see what has happened to me.
Psychopaths only fear two things, ladies and gentlemen: exposure and worse psychopaths.
That's true. They are psychopaths, no doubt about it. They're criminals. They've got a long criminal record that people don't know about, but I've had a private investigator do an investigation through the FBI and Homeland Security, and the stuff he came up with, he wrote me, the private investigator said, be wary of these people. These are real criminals. You've got to watch these people. They're violent, and they're very, very well-known criminals. So all of that I'm going to have on my website. So just go read about it on jordanmaxwellshow.com.
And they're probably also very charming and manipulative and will tell you everything you wished somebody would come up and tell you. All of your dreams will come true. All of your problems will be solved. And it's just a little facade to say, you know what? If you trust me enough, I can take everything from you. And it's the kind of power play that happens all the time, isn't it? These creatures can't create anything of their own. So if they see something that they like, a good idea or a body of work or something, they know they could never come up with it. So they're forced to steal it and then just say that they came up with it and poo-poo the person who actually did and hope that they go away.
That's exactly right. And they not only stole my website and then redirected my bank account to their personal bank account. So when people buy tapes and videos and books and stuff off of that website, it goes directly to their personal bank account, not to the business. And then they redirected my emails. 4.5 years ago, they redirected my email. I don't know anything about it. They were my webmaster. So they redirected my emails to themselves. So for the past 4.5 years, people have been writing to me from all over the world, sending donations to me from all over the world, and they answer my emails all over the world as if it was me. And so I'm getting people now who found out that I have a new a website that is mine, and they're telling me, well, we've been sending money to support you. We've been sending stuff to help you and been talking, you know, and emailing you for 4 years, and now we find out that it's been going to these people, these criminals. And I said, yes, there's nothing I can do about it because I don't have the money to protect myself. I don't have the funds to get a lawyer and to protect myself. They stole it all. They stole my products, my name, my money, my email account. They took it all. Then they went into Washington, D.C., sent in an affidavit under penalty of perjury to say that they own that they wanted not only the copyrights of everything, which they got. All my work has been copyrighted by these people, so I don't even own my own work anymore. Then they tried to trademark my name, so I can't even use my name in public. And so that tells you that these people are criminals personified. And so something has to be done. Well, happily, some lawyers came in, saw what was happening to me. These guys are very good. So they said, we're going to do something about this. I told them, I don't have any money to pay anybody. They said, that's all right. We're going to do it anyway. So I think that their days are numbered now, because we've already got a federal case facing them and a state case facing them. And these people, I am sure, hopefully, they're going to prison. They're going to jail because they have broke so many federal laws now by impersonating wire fraud, mail fraud, accepting money behind the scenes and putting it into private accounts. These people are dangerous criminals. So that's why I said, don't go to anywhere. Don't go anywhere near JordanMaxwell.com.
Now,
my worst enemies have stolen it from me.
Now, in the end, everything comes back to the beginning. And the show originally started out talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. And you said something there, Jordan, that made me think about myself. You don't have the money to protect yourself from these people. And I was just thinking, you large money-laden organizations, the 20th most rich in the borough, as it were, in Brooklyn, the Jehovah's Witnesses, have more than enough funds to protect themselves. So the question is, are they actually doing things that are like against the law and then getting away with it because they can hire the good lawyers or bribe the cops, etc., anything like that?
Well, they don't need to do anything illegal. Like Santos said, they've got an open check. Like I told you, they got an open check from two of the largest financial institutions in this country. So with enough money, you don't have to do anything illegal. You can just go in and buy it, period. Make them an offer. They can't refuse. And so
is that sort
they
of
probably
the, sort of the same way how a number of corporate banks financed the both candidates in the 2008 election, but they just financed Barack Obama twice as much as the other guy?
That's exactly right. Yeah, if you got that kind of money, you don't have to be illegal or you know, do anything criminal. Just buy it and buy this off everybody. Buy off anybody that gets in your way.
I mean, this is America, damn it.
That's the way it works in America. It's a business. America is a business. It's a corporation.
A poor little immigrant like me, it's a dream. It's a dream.
Tell us about Soli, Jordan.
The man with the cigar. Yeah, okay. I cannot believe we got so tangentized on that. Wait, well, is tangentized even a word? So, I don't know if tangentized is even a word, but go ahead.
Okay. So I went in to see Fred Franz, who was the president of the Watchtower and Bible Tract Society, and I went in to see him, and this guy named Sully, sitting there smoking a cigar, he says to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going into Franz's office. And he said, no, you're not. And I said, why not? And he said, you talk to me. I talk to Fred Franz, not you. And I said, I have some business. He said, you got no business. You talk to me. I talk to Franz, not you. So whatever it is you want to tell Franz, you tell me. I'll talk to him. And I said, I don't understand. He said, well, try and understand this. I'm the boss here, not you. I call the shots, not you. So nobody talks to Franz unless they talk to me first. So I said to him, well, who are you? He said, it's unimportant who I am. What is important is I'm the guy that you have to go through. So out of here. Turn around and leave the room. So that told me something right then and there about Fred Franz, about the Watchtower Bible Tract Society, about the whole organization of Jehovah's Witnesses, because I've known for a long time ago that they were connected to secret societies in Europe. I knew all about Charles Tess Russell and the Russell Foundation and the Russell family and their connection to Yale's Skull and Bones. That was the name of the guy who started Skull and Bones, was a man named Russell. I knew about Charles Tess Russell, who founded the organization that became known as Jehovah's Witnesses, about his financing out of London on ships with the leading Zionists going to England to meet Lord Rothschild. I knew all about that, and I knew about the corruption in New York, the Empire State and New York operation. I knew all about Brooklyn being the center of organized crime in America, period. And so I realized that there was a lot of dirt going on, but it finally hit me how far gone the whole thing really was when this Solek guy with his cigar said, you know, nobody talks to friends unless they come through me, period. I call the shots. I'll decide what he hears and what he doesn't hear.
So it sounds like Jesus.
Something about,
nobody shall come to the Father except through me. Yeah. It sounds almost like the Wizard of Oz, you know?
Hey, nobody can talk to the wizard, not nobody, not no how.
Hey, Jordan, there's also Fritz Springmeier in one of his presentations. Uh-huh. He reveals something very, very similar about the Jehovah's Witnesses, because I think he was involved with them as well. But he mentions the name of a gentleman who comes in periodically. It sounds like this Soleil guy, and he instructs and gives them. Apparently, they all stop and give him a lot of time when he visits. And he also has Zionist Jewish connections. So Fritz Springmeier, maybe if any of the listeners know how to contact him.
I do.
If they want to find out more about that. Yeah, that would be very, very handy, because I would like to know that, because I would like to help the beautiful people that I know that are trapped in the Jehovah's Witness organization. I know thousands and thousands. I have my first cousins involved with them, and they're suffering. I mean, it's not like they're happy; they are suffering, because it's an organization that is run by the mentality of gossip and sticky nose behavior. You know, everybody's looking over their shoulders to see if they can tell on someone for doing the wrong thing. You know, Sister Smith's got a short dress, don't you think, Elder Jones? That sort of, it's the Inquisition. It's purely, I mean, a lot of people will never fathom and grasp this, but what is going on in the Jehovah's Witness Church is the Catholic Inquisition. And I can prove that, because every single one of them has a Catholic state birth certificate with a legal name, and that legal name will read something like this: Santo Bonacci. Right? That I do not have permission to use Santo Bonacci. That is not my name, and there's the banking controlled state is using that. Legal means to bind, legare in Latin. Legale is legal, and legare with an R, both letters L and R are interchangeable, mean to bind. This is why the birth certificate is written on bond paper. It's binding you to an ecclesiastical system, because the birth certificate is a Catholic benefice. It's a vestment, a garment, identifying the parson who has authority over Catholic property or relics. It's about Catholic property, and the birth certificate is a gift from the mother church. You see, that's how it's considered, and it's a Catholic benefice, so you get benefits from it. You see, so what I would be encouraging one and all is to waive those benefits, otherwise you shall be inscribed in the book of death, because it's a corporate person name, and corporate, it's corporatized. Corporate comes from corpse. This is all registrations. Regis belong to the king, Regis, and all registrations are registered and recorded in the book of death. And every single one of the Jehovah's Witnesses, bar none, has a registered birth certificate with a legal binding name, and they belong to the Catholic Church, lock, stock, and barrel, hook, line, and sinker, spirit, soul, and body, until they deal with that legal name, the Whore of Babylon. Now, you will never learn this in any of the corporate churches out there, because they are dead. They're dead, and they promote necromancy. And all people going to these so-called Christian churches are practicing necromancy, and they are the dead who are burying the dead. Because to awaken from this death-like system and not to be operating through a mask, through a person, a corporate name, owned by the Vatican. They are running dioceses, people. You see, our countries are just big farms run by the Rothschilds and the Rockefeller Vatican slave business people. And all the bar, all the police, all the politicians, they are all working for this slave military-industrial complex petrodollar oil dumping scheme. They're dumping oil into your McDonald's burgers. They're dumping oil into products into Kentucky Fried Chicken. They're putting it into your water. It's called sodium fluoride. They're putting it into your cherry ripe. It's called aspartame. E. coli feces. It's poo. They're pouring poo and oil sludge into our food, all the beryllium and aluminium and feces and blood plasma in the chemtrails, because, and through the churches, and they're dumbing people down with petrodollars. Get a mortgage, get a debt, use the usury money, don't learn how to make your own money, which Santos Bonacci created a promissory note and a bill of exchange and paid with lawful money, not legal, filthy Rothschild blood money. And that is what is churches are all about, dear friends. We need to go to the church that is in the heart, that the Apostle Paul speaks of in Colossians 1:26 and 27, of the Christ in you. Because there is the church within, the church in your heart, is the church that will never allow you to kill someone else because they do not have the same faith. And killing is not just restricted to destroying the body. It is restricted to the judgment that comes off the lips of all the churchgoers. The Presbyterian pedophiles are cursing the Jehovah's Witness pedophiles because they don't have the same Jesus. And the Methodists are persecuting the Pentecostal Jesus and their adherents equally. All of these churches, all of them, all corporate churches need to be and will be shut down. And then we will return to the true church of humanity and love of God and love of light and love of peace, and no more petrol dollars that we are pocketing with blood dripping from them, so that we can support these pedophile top-heavy churches, and in particular the Vatican, absolutely rife with pedophilia. You know, the Pope says that he wants to do away with slavery. He wrote that in a couple of weeks ago in one of his letters. Well, he is sitting on the kingdom of the slave empire, the unholy Roman Inquisition of the birth certificate legal name. Anything to do with it, guys, is rubbing shoulders with Babylon the Great. And I would say, get out of her, my people, if if you do not want to share with her in her sins.
And, ladies and gentlemen, if you want another avenue to get rid of your filthy Rothschild blood money, donate it to Vinnie Eastwood today at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. I had to get that in there somehow. You understand.
Now,
Jordan, go right ahead.
I was going to say something else that I had another experience that Santos will find interesting. I was in charge of platform security. I've been to New York to the governing body headquarters. I had lunch with three of the members of the governing body. I was ushered around and given a private tour by Dan Selick and some of the other guys on the governing body. So I was always connected to platform security and to security for the president of the Watchtower Society. Well, they had a big conference in Tucson, Arizona, and I was in charge of platform security at that event, and I sat with Fred Franz in the audience, and people, all the hundreds of people, thousands there, were looking at, wondering why I was able to sit with Fred Franz, because he came out and sat in the audience to make people feel more at ease, that the very president of the Watchtower Society is sitting out in the audience with the people. And so he had me go with him because I was helping him. I picked him up, to take him to the event, take him home to the hotel, etc. So I was sitting there with him, and he had a tape. He asked me, he had a tape. He was having problems seeing. He was very old and was not seeing too well. And he told me, I have a tape, a regular cassette tape. And he said, I messed it up because I can't see too well, and I screwed it up on the tape recorder. And he said, can you fix this for me? And I told him, absolutely. I'm used to doing that, working with cassette tapes. So I told him, sure, I'll fix that for you, no problem at all. So he told me, well, wait till we get back after the event. We get back into the office at the stadium. So when we got back to the office, he told me, he said, I want you to fix this in front of the other guys on the security staff. He said, I want you to fix this. And he told everybody, he said, Jordan Maxwell is going to fix my tape for me. And he said, I want everybody to understand, nobody touches this tape after it's fixed. So Jordan can sit here, but I have four or five guys sitting around watching me to fix it. And he said, nobody is to touch this tape. I only want one. I want this tape not to be recorded. I don't want anybody touching it. Just fix it and hand it back to me. So I did. I fixed it and give it back to him. And it was very, very high security kind of thing. Everybody was standing around watching me fix the tape. And the idea was, when this tape is fixed, you hand it back to the president of the society and forget it. It's over. Your part's done. And I was really wondering, what is on this tape that was scaring everybody and that the president made a big to-do over? And so when I fixed it, I handed it back to him. He said, thank you. And he was happy with that. And then when he went back into his personal office, I was sitting out in the outside office with these guys. And I said, well, what was that all about, the tape? And one of them just jokingly said, yeah, that's his marching orders. That's his marching orders. And I just thought that was interesting. That's his marching orders, which is a way of saying that's his orders that he's been given by the higher authorities, and he was trying to listen to it and screwed it up and needed to have it fixed, and that's why he was so anxious to get it fixed right so he could hear it. But for that guy, for that other guy saying this is his marching orders, you wonder, wait a minute, who tells the president of the Watchtower Society, and give him a tape and here's your orders? So I don't know what's going on there, but it sure opens up a can of worms as far as I'm concerned.
Are we talking about some people who, I guess, have a general interest in this? I mean, let me rephrase. when you've got an organization like the Jehovah's Witnesses and there's so many others underneath this umbrella of, let's say, religion that teaches the New World Order ideal, more or less. Is there a central puppet pulling all of those strings, the religious element of the New World Order global brainwashing apparatus, or are they all completely independent, connected in vicarious ways, sort of thing?
Well, I think that there is. There has to be, logic alone for me tells me there has to be some kind of a clearing house so that you don't have wrecks, you don't have traffic jams and wrecks going on. You've got to, control the flow of traffic. So you've got to have red lights and green lights, and you've got to have indicators. So that's true in business, that's true in commerce, that's true in everything to do with business. And after all, Jehovah's Witnesses and all these other big organizations are a business. So I'm of the opinion that, no, I think that there's some sort of a clearinghouse for this kind of knowledge. Somebody is orchestrating what these different cults are teaching.
Would we... I'm just speculating here, but it would be a secret society that the Jehovah's Witnesses are connected to or something like that?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes, there is some sort of a secret or society behind the scenes that are doing the thinking for Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Christadelphians, Worldwide Church of God, some sort of an all-encompassing place. We know that there that's true. Of the major think tanks that are in England and in America that are the brains behind political moves that England and America are making. So we know that there's this kind of thing exists in commerce and banking and government. So obviously it's happening in religion too. There's clearinghouse.
Freemasonry, perhaps, because when you think about it, it would have to be global. There'd have to be a relatively large sphere of influence, members in pretty much every country, and also a good system for keeping secrets and as high a hierarchy as it goes, in order to keep that kind of nougaty goodness right at the top where it belongs, with the tendrils of its scumbaggery.
Well, yes, I would say I don't think it's the Masonic order in America as such, but I would say that there is an occult, and that's a very important addition to the sentence. Occult simply means hidden, and of that there is no doubt in my mind that there is an occult or hidden societies in the world which are interplaying and interfacing with the different fraternal orders of the world. There are all kinds of fraternal orders in the world, but I am suspecting, because of what I've seen and because of pattern recognition using the same, so many different cults and groups, religious, political, financial organizations are using the same identical symbols, the same words, the same terms. They seem to have plenty of money. So it tells me that there has to be some kind of a clearinghouse somewhere where the money is allocated, the symbols and words and terms are put into place for different churches, different religions, different banks and organizations. Got to be some kind of a clearinghouse somewhere in the world that this stuff is being cooked up and guided from.
I was told once by somebody, and I didn't confirm this. I don't know if he was actually telling me the truth, but he said that a lot of the religions, like Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, and Mormons, so forth, were all started by high-ranking Freemasons. Did you hear anything to that effect?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, and that's probably something to that. Yep. I hasten to say, I don't want to jump on Freemasons as such, especially in America, because.
But again, Jordan. Sorry to interrupt. But if we're talking about Freemasons, again, we're talking about the organization, not the people. The same context with which we refer to the Jehovah's Witnesses in this discussion.
Right. That's exactly right. I'm not talking about the normal everyday guys you meet in the street that are members of the Masonic Order. I have many friends that are good guys. So. But there does seem to be some sort of an overshadowing, as a term I like to use, an overshadowing presence on the earth that runs things from behind the scenes. And I've been talking about that for 50 years. It's finally out there all over the world, people talking about Illuminati and secret societies and, you know, all the, and especially important is the stuff that Santos has been talking about in relation to astrotheology, the Vatican, the corporate world that is actually incorporated under the Vatican. That's absolutely correct. The Vatican is the original corporation in Europe, and then through the Vatican Corporation, there are subsidiaries to that corporation in England, and then later on into America, into New York. Remember, Rome, under the Caesars, when Rome went into Britannia, which we call the UK, but it was called Britannia, when Rome went into Britannia, the seat of power is the word I was looking for, the seat of power were the headquarters for the Roman Empire in Britannia, in the UK, was in a city called York, Y-O-R-K, York, England. York, England is where Caesar ruled Britannia. And so when the New World was being founded, that same Catholic, Roman, Caesar domination of the UK, Roman Catholic domination of the UK in York, England, moved to this continent and it became known as New York. And New York was called the Empire State. They have an Empire State building. So the Empire State is the Roman Empire operating in the New World. So that's why if you go back to the history books and read about how the Roman Empire operated, it will tell you that Caesar, in the ancient Roman Empire, Caesar ruled Rome from something called Capitoline Hill, or Capitol Hill. And how did he officially oversee the Roman Empire from Capitoline Hill? Capitol Hill was through the Roman Senate. And so the history books will tell you so that Caesar every morning was said to go up on the hill. He went up on the hill to rule with the Roman Senate. Well, that's the same thing we have in America. We talk about every day on the news, up on the hill. The Senate did this and that up on the hill. So America is a Roman Catholic Vatican operation in the New World, and what we call the New World or North America.
And of course, if not almost all the founding fathers were big in Freemasonry as well, too, weren't they? In fact, George Washington's yep. Inauguration was actually a Masonic ritual. He's wearing the white apron and the gloves.
Yeah, but I also have photocopies of letters that he wrote about his association with the Masonic Order, in which he talked about the Illuminati, which I thought was interesting. Actually, in those words, George Washington wrote to a minister, clergyman, friend of his, and he talked to that clergyman about, quote, the Illuminati, end quote. So even George Washington used that term as far back as 1770. So, he talked about how that there was no doubt in his mind that there were presence of corrupt and evil organizations operating in America and operating within the U.S. government, but that he did not see that happening in Freemasonry himself, and he did not see that, he saw it as an apparition at that point. It was just a handful of people who were trying to overthrow the founding of America. And he called them the Illuminati. Well, I just think that's interesting because I think he was right. I don't think it's right to attribute to all Freemasonry that which is evil that has crept into it. Because Freemasonry actually can be traced back to Egypt. And in the Egyptian Masonic, what we would call the Masonic presence in Egypt, was based on astral theology, of which both Santos and I have been talking about for years. I know that today, this is a fact that most Christians have no idea of, that the Christian church in the world today is a Masonic order, period. End of sentence. You would have no Christianity on this earth if it were not for the Masonic orders of the world. Christianity is a Masonic movement, period. Now, once you understand how that happened, then I would say not all of Freemasonry is evil or bad. There were very good people in Freemasons who helped found America and give freedom to the world. So I think it has to do with the fact that people are people. And anytime you have organizations come together, I don't care how far back they go, going back to Egypt, going back to India, there were secret societies. There's always going to be those who are evil who come in and try and redirect the good work that others want to do.
You're right. So, Alan Watt talked about this. He said that the New World Order, for lack of a better term, has figured out a template, a playbook, as it were, for identifying, corrupting, and then co-opting good movements. It doesn't matter. Yeah, doesn't matter
right.
how well organized they are in order to detect. They can always be infiltrated and taken from within.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I've been in the company. I've been in the company of many good Masons, high up Masons, and they are of the same mind, that they are very unhappy about what's going on in the world today, very unhappy about what's happened to America. They're extremely unhappy about the way the world is going. And they've been my friends for many years, and there's many of them. So I know this does not apply to Masonry across the board. But there is, in fact, occult Freemasonry, which has to do with something coming out of Europe, which it can be traced back to, as Santos has shown so many times, can be traced back to Rome. It can be traced back to good people being taken over little by little by little by sinister evil plots and sinister evil people with money who are manipulating the masses through these organizations. But I don't think Freemasonry as a subject is the culprit. I'm sure there's something far, far more evil behind all secret societies in the world. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
I saw a film once called Hero, and the way that they protected the emperor from assassins was they didn't have any curtains in his great halls, because once he did, and there were so many curtains separating him from his attackers that he had no idea where they could possibly be coming from. And I think that's the way it needs to work, basically, if you want to maintain control of an ideal or an organization, is just have so many curtains in the way to blind people from the truth and the light outside.
Yeah, that's exactly right, behind the curtain, just like in... just like in the movie, what was it?
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz and the man behind the curtain.
Santos, you've been awfully quiet there.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking there, you can't really attribute all of this control mechanism that's gone way out of control to this body or that body. You know, you've got to look at organizations like Tavistock, MI.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, Six and Bilderbergers. You've got to look at all of these, Mossad, all of these mind control organizations. They're just organizations. They're used to protect the big corporation. Everything is to protect that corporate structure, and then under that is the legal name and legal tender, which is fiat currency. You see, usury and harvesting of people's energy through the birth certificate. The unfortunate thing is, that these organizations work hard. You can even go down to the, you know, Lions Club, Apex Club, Salvation Army. I would be very, very suspect of these. And all of these, you know, so-called charity foundations and wildlife protection this and wildlife protection that and cancer organizations. What are these cancer councils? I mean, what do we need that for? I mean, it is known that there are natural cures for cancer. You know, people are curing themselves every day with this, that, and the other natural cure. So why do we need unnatural pharmaceutical treatments? Why would you treat an illness when you can cure it? You see, so this is what's going in this world. They're indoctrinating people to believe that one day the Messiah is coming, one day we'll find a cure for cancer, one day we'll have free energy. They're already here. We do not need Federal Reserve notes and in Australia Reserve Bank notes. We don't need them. We don't need their charitable organizations. We can look after the poor ourselves. We don't need their legal tender. We are banks. We create our own money. In fact, that's why we do give money to banks by giving them our signatures. We are the creators of money. It is we the people. We the people are the living de jure government. What's going on in these churches is they're hurting people. Churches continuing to compound their delusion by making them believe that they are the legal name and to do everything and operate everything through it and to only use one currency, that legal tender. The legal name and legal tender. And that's how they have bound us. And this is why they create bonds from the bonded birth certificate. It's a bond market, a slave market, stock market. We are the stock, and they're laughing at us because we are the ones who are committing the crime of using a name which we have no permission to use. It is Catholic property. Please, people, next time the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door, ask them, are you aware that your birth certificate name is Catholic owned stock? It is their property. Every time you use it, you are committing fraud. You are committing what's called a sin, and they know that. That's how they get you to be a false witness against yourself so that you can give evidence against yourself in court and pay for their further bonds that they are creating, called constructive bonds, bid bonds, payment bonds, and these are all securitized and bundled and sold on the stock market for, well, the Rothschilds, the Rockefeller, the Russells, and all of their foundations and corporations and etc. and charitable organizations. It's all a crock. People, please let us wake up. Don't support businesses that are polluting your bodies. Because if you eat formaldehyde and aspartame and all of those preservatives that they put in a Mars bar, your feces is just going to, it's never going to decompose. You're polluting the earth. You yourself are polluting the earth by polluting your body by eating polluted processed foods. Say no to them. Say yes to organic food. Insist that your local producers stock only organic food and none of that Monsanto sprayed GMO poison, which is causing so much suffering among mankind, you know. And pharmaceuticals, throw them away. We've got coconut oil, we've got cannabis oil, we've got all of these cures. Cannabis oil can cure, in the right dosage, cancer, all kinds of cancer, terminal cancer, whatever kind, in 6 weeks. We don't need cancer councils. They're all run by the Rothschilds. They're all run by pedophiles. The Jehovah's Witnesses, governing body, mostly top-heavy with pedophiles, guys. They protect pedophiles. They are accomplices. They are guilty. They're all guilty. They're all of them. All of those corporate corpse dead entities. We have to say goodbye to the necromantic world and go back to the living de jure paradise of the Garden of Eden, which is de jure living, and take control of our self-determined governance that we have as godlike children of light.
Don't Santos. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be romanced by the necromancy.
Santos, there's something I wanted to bring up that I think you might find interesting, just for a couple of minutes. You know, I've asked Jehovah's Witnesses many times, we read in the old watchtowers, and it's generally understood among Jehovah's Witnesses, is that Charles Tez Russell was being led by Jehovah's Spirit. He was the one who was called out by Jehovah and was being led by Jehovah's Spirit to read and study and to research and to seek the truth. And so that's what they've taught for many years, is that Charles Tess Russell was actually being led by Jehovah's Spirit. Am I not correct?
Yep, that's what they say.
Okay, then my next question is, they also, Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, that when Jesus came back into his kingdom in 1914, he came back to his kingdom. Before 1914, Jesus was not in a position to do anything until he became king of the kingdom. And according to Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus came in and took up the reins of King of Kings in 1914. And at that time, the Watchtower Society has said that Jesus in 1914 sat down on the throne of God. And now he was in a position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to decide who will be the chosen people that will serve Almighty God. And so the Watchtower has said so many times that Jesus looked all over the earth, and the only people he could find that were as close to the truth and sincere and was as close to the truth as possible were the International Bible Students Association, the IBSA, started by Charles Tess Russell. So he picked them to be the Lord's anointed ones and to give to them the work of carrying the real truth, because they have been the closest to the truth as possible. And so he picked them. Well, my question was, wait a minute, I thought you said that Jehovah was influencing and protecting and guiding Charles Tess Russell back in the 1870s. And now you're telling me that Jesus did not pick anybody until 1914, and then he picked Charles Tess Russell's organization. Isn't that playing favorites? I mean, Jehovah's already, back in 1870s, picked Charles Tess Russell and was leading him. Now you're telling me that Jesus comes into his kingdom in 1914 and looks all over the world to see who is the best Christians on the earth, and he finds that it happens to be Charles Tess Russell's organization. There's something wrong here. Jehovah's already picked Charles Tess Russell, from what you said, from what the Watchtower Bible Tract Society has said in their watchtowers, that Charles Tess Russell was picked by Jehovah back in the 1870s and has been led by Jehovah all this time. And so he's got the whole truth, and he's got the closest to the truth. That's why Jesus picked him. So it looks like somebody's playing favorites. And second of all, and I've said to the governing body, if that is true, that Jehovah picked Charles Tess Russell back in the 1870s, and was behind, and was leading him by his Holy Spirit, leading him toward the truth. And so that in 1914, Jesus comes in and sees that Charles Tess Russell, by chance, just by chance, happens to be the one who is doing the most, who is the closest to the truth. And I asked him, am I correct in assuming that? And they said, yes, that's basically it. Good. Now, my last question is, how come when Charles Tess Russell died in 1916, immediately the first president of the Watchtower Bible Tract Society took over, the first thing he did was summarily dismiss everything Charles Tess Russell had ever written, period, and said in the Watchtower, it was all a bunch of bull, it was crap, it has nothing to do with anything, and we got a whole new understanding. Everything Charles Tess Russell wrote from 1870 to the night he died in 1916 was a bunch of bull. He was a good man, tried to do what was right, but he didn't know beans about anything that was going on. So it was all totally wrong. Well, Jesus, I thought, picked Charles Taylor's Roosevelt Organization because it was the closest to the truth. And now the next president for the society says, no, the whole thing is a bunch of bull. Jesus must have been drinking that day when he picked him, because Charles Taylor Russell had no truth. It was all a bunch of bull and nothing to be, nothing to look at all. So now you need to look at what we're saying today. That's the real truth. So I'm just saying that there's way too many arguments can be made in a court of law to show the entire superstructure of Jehovah's Witnesses as a sham, financed out of England by the Rothschilds, by the Rockefellers, and somebody better start doing their homework and looking what's happening to the whole world because of people like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, and all the other cults. They're all working together.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. It's a crime racket. People trafficking, they're doing it through legal tender and the legal name. That's it. And they collect legal tender by the ton in their contribution boxes, and then collect more stolen property off Indigenous people, and they use the legal name to enslave them. It's the Book of Death. I would be dealing with that legal name as soon as possible and waive the benefits and be free, children and friends and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, and get right out of Babylon the Great. That's what I would be saying, including the Jehovah's Witnesses and all of these.
Now,
so do we have a few moments left?
We have about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, in the last 2 minutes, I would like to say that it's a real pleasure to be on the show, and especially to be on with my dear friend Santos. Santos is an extraordinarily brilliant guy. I mean, all you have to do is look at his work, go on the web, and just type in his name on YouTube and listen to his lectures. If that doesn't set you back about 10 years growth, the wisdom and the knowledge that Santos has been talking about for so long, and I'm just honored to be on the program with Santos. He's a dear friend. And I want to thank Vinny for having me on the show too. And my last and final words are, if you're interested in my work, you can go to Jordan Maxwell Show, SHOW. Because there's another website out there called jordanmaxwell.com, but that doesn't belong to me. That's the criminals who stole it from me. I'll be getting it back soon when the federal court gives me back my possessions that were stolen. But right now, if you want to contact me, just go on jordanmaxwellshow.com, and there's a contact. Send me an email. Send the email to the Jordan Maxwell Show, and I'll get it. And again, thank you for having me on tonight.
It's basically the best kind of show that I like, where you get two people who are like really great guests in and of themselves together to have a bit of a conversation. It's kind of like when one person's learning and the other person's teaching, the energy flows kind of one way. But when there's two learned people who are kind of talking, they tend to be teaching each other, and everybody gets to feed off it.
I've certainly learned a lot from Santos of that. There's no doubt. So,
yeah, look, I'll pay that back at you, Jordan. Thank you for the kind compliments, and I return with interest and tenfold more back to you, because you've set me on this path.
And then got...
And, just inspired me more and more. So thank you too. Thanks for the listeners. And please, please share this audio with all those people that are trapped in Babylon the Great, the Jehovah's Witnesses, etc. Let's free them. Free them from the legal name, from legal tender, and start afresh with de jure, genuine, living government. We are the government. We're self-determined. Go, go. Let's go.
It's important to stay motivated when you're faced with this kind of thing. And I was considering earlier today, somebody said, you know, what group do I associate with? Are you a truther or whatever, and into conspiracies, etc., you know? And I said, well, one of the chief tenets of talking about and discussing conspiracies is that you think independently and you don't really identify with a group. You're not part of the groupthink paradigm anymore. It's like, sorry, bro. You know, I've done that before, and turns out every time that everybody's thinking one thing, it's because they're being told that there's one truth when there's many. So the only time you can really ever get people totally organized and agreeing on everything is to agree to a generally accepted lie that people are willing to swallow, because the truth is probably just a little bit too scary for their little minds to tolerate. I'm not speaking down to anybody here. It happens to all of us. It happened to me. And hopefully, one day, it'll happen to you too. And when it messes up your life, you'll be so grateful that you did this at this time instead of waiting a little bit long later on down the track. It's kind of imperative, isn't it, to wake up as soon as possible, no matter what you lose in the process, because you kind of got a moral obligation. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Thank you also to freedomslips.com as a listener supported network. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Catch you later.